Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let's call to order our meeting. This is a meeting of the Accessibility Advisory Council. Today is Thursday, March the 29th of 2018, and it is 2 p.m. I would like to remind you we're hearing a lot of background noise, so be mindful of what's going on around you. You may star 6 to mute your phone or pound 6 to unmute if you do not have a mute button on your line already. We will begin by calling roll. Please answer by saying here. Joe Delvecchio will be absent today. Jim Woolihan. Carol Starhersky.
Here.
Thank you. Susan Whitmire.
Here.
Thank you. Lois Arlene Libel Crow.
Here.
Thank you. Paul Vixney. Paul Vixney. Beth Meyer.
Here.
Thank you. That does give us a quorum. Next, we would like to review and approve the agenda as posted if there are no recommended changes. Would like a motion to approve?
A motion to approve the agenda as drafted.
Is that Susan?
Yes, it is. Sorry, there's a lot of noise.
Perhaps we need to close the door, Susan. We're picking it up here as well.
No, it's not on my end. I couldn't hear what was going on.
Okay. Everyone, again, please be mindful of the noise around you.
Thank you.
We have a motion to approve the agenda. May we have a second?
This is Darlene. I second it.
Thank you, Darlene. All those in favor of the agenda as posted, please vote by saying aye.
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 I hear two voices out of four, ladies and gentlemen. We need everyone to respond.
Aye.
Thank you.
That's one.
Confirm that Jim's home.
Jim Woolihan, are you on the line?
Who made the second?
Darlene made the second. Okay, we've approved the agenda. Please all vote by saying aye if you approve the agenda.
Susan Whitmire, aye.
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 Is that Paul Vixney?
Paul's on the line.
He never.
No, that's.
Neither of them.
Okay. So is it Jim or is it Paul?
Gentlemen, I'm hearing a man's voice, but we don't have a man who has answered roll call. Would you please let us know who you are that you're answering? Is this Paul, Jim, or Joe?
Are you talking about me? I'm a caller. My name is Douglas Coleman.
Douglas, you're not a TAC member, so we would ask that you not respond to the request unless we ask for public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you so much.
Unless you happen to be an alternate.
No, he's not an alternate.
Okay.
No, ma'am. I'll be representing number four, so I'll wait for my turn. Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you.
So I think we have approved our agenda as posted. Next, we would like to approve our minutes from Thursday, February the 1st of 2018.
Approved, Beth Meyer.
Thank you.
A second.
Beth and Susan. All those in favor of the previous minutes with no changes, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Ladies, I'm only hearing two voices. Keep going.
Y'all did it.
Yes, sir.
Next, we'd like to move to our items for discussion today. First is Peter Rogers waiver number 294. Chip?
Do we need to go around the room?
We can do that, yes. I'm Marlita Peters. I'm going to help facilitate your meeting today.
Mo Madani.
Tom Campbell.
Justin Vogel.
Chris Howell.
Chip Sellers.
Jim Hammers.
Robert Bimbo.
Thank you. That's the staff in the room. Do we have anyone on the line that would like to be acknowledged for the recording? Any guests?
Yes, my name is Peter Rogers. Waiver number 2945195.
Thank you, Peter. Anyone else?
Frank Garcia, City of Miami Beach. My waiver number is 307.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My name is William Medellin. I'm the architect of record for item number 6, 28th Street Obelisk and Pump Station Restoration, waiver number 307.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, we're hearing a television or a conversation in the background. If you could please mute your line. Do we have any other guests on the line, please?
Yeah, Wayne Uppeltine with the City of Sebastian Building Department for waiver number 2, 920 US 1 Plaza.
Thank you. I heard Diana Worrell, but I did not hear who is from City of Sebastian.
Wayne Uppeltine.
Wayne,
building official.
Spell your last name, please, Wayne.
Uppeltine.
Thank you very much. Do we have any other guests on the line, please?
Yes, Larry is in.
Thank you, Larry. Next. I'm sorry.
For waiver number 295.
And please restate your name, 295.
Thank you so much. Douglas Coleman.
Douglas Coleman. Ladies and gentlemen, we're still having a background conversation. Can we ask that you close your doors, please? We have Mr. Coleman. Is there anyone else on the line who would like to be recognized?
Yes, John Lecker, L-E-C-K-E-R, waiver 295.
Thank you, Mr. Lecker. Anyone else? Hearing nothing further.
Paul Dixon is here.
Thank you, Paul, for checking in with us. Do we have Jim Woolleyhan on the line? All right, moving ahead. Chip, Peter Rogers, waiver number 294.
The issue is toilet rooms. Project progress is in plan review. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessibility features, $25,000. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing the size requirement of toilet rooms for a restaurant with 2,160 square feet. The applicant is not doing any work to the building. Marion County Planning Department will not issue a certificate of occupancy to open a small pizza restaurant due to the size of the existing bathrooms that are 54 inch by 54 inch. If the bathrooms have to be expanded, the HVAC and electrical will also have to be moved. The building has also been a small sports grill and has had the same owner for 30 years. They submitted an estimate of $25,000 to bring the restrooms up to code. Staff recommendations note, based on the staff discussion with the building official, the project in question is a change of use from a thrift store to a restaurant, and the trigger for the upgrade to the restroom facility is the plumbing code. Staff recommends denial of the waiver application on the basis that the commission has no authority to waive the code requirement of the FBC plumbing.
TAC members, do you have any discussion? Mr. Rogers, do you have any comments?
Yes. Well, the plumbing in the two restaurants, or excuse me, the two bathrooms are in compliant, my understanding, from the county. It's just that what we want to do is move the bathroom doors out to give us additional 2 feet to increase the radiuses for the handicap accessibility. to all the hand, all the required handicap, you know, toilet heights and sinks, and all the rails and all are in compliance, my understanding.
Yeah, this is Mohammadani. I think really at this point there was because of the fact that what you're doing is mainly for compliance with the accessibility code and has there's nothing there that the Florida specific requirement that could be waived. So still is the issue is we only can waive the requirement that's really specific to those specific requirements that in the accessibility code that's Florida specific. So this is related to Florida specific requirement. The plus is really there were no documentation given for of the hardship or any information, but it seems to me the way I understand it from the building official is this is a change of use, and as you know, assuming that's why he's asking for the compliance based on the fact you're changing the use of the place or the facility.
It was temporarily a thrift store for a short period of time, but it's always been this type of a business. I've owned it since 1983.
TAC members, do you have any further questions? Council members.
I have a question. I want to make sure I understand mode.
Beth, we can't hear you. Can you get closer to your line or turn your phone up?
Yes. If we, I just want to make sure I understand what Mo said is, if this is, if the reason this has come before us is not, and the gentleman said that it is ADA compliant, the restrooms are, how is it before us if it's ADA compliant, if this is just being triggered from the plumbing code? Is that what was just said, that it was a more of a trigger of a, from the building official, that it was a plumbing code that's what triggered it, and then the gentleman said that they're ADA compliant, so I just want to make sure I didn't miss something here.
They're not compliant. They don't have the 60 inch radius. And
that's what yeah,
but all what I'm saying is that
we were short.
This is Mohammadani. All what we're saying at this point is that because of the fact, I think the building official is the one who's triggering the compliance. But if you look at it, the issue is, regardless whatever it is, it's an ADA requirement that we cannot really waive. We can only waive those Florida-specific requirements that's really permitted by law. So that's really the whole issue, is that this is not a Florida-specific requirement that can be waived, regardless.
Madam Chair, this is Larry Schneider. Can I ask a question from the public side?
As soon as we make sure that our TAC members have asked all the clarifying questions, I'll come to you, Larry. Give me just a moment.
Thank you very much.
Council members, any further questions? Hearing none, Mr. Schneider, go ahead.
Yes, if I understood the applicant correctly, they said this is an existing space, no work is being done, and that the building department is requiring accessible toilet rooms because of a change of use. There is no requirement under our statute that says if you change the use, you have to bring the facility up to accessibility compliance. If there's no construction going on, then there's no modification. And therefore, I don't see where that would become an issue for the building official to make that interpretation, since it's not in the law because of a change of use to make things accessible.
I agree with you on this one. There is no... that's true. If it's really there is no if change of use is the same, and actually the only time we get involved if there is an alteration to it. At this point there is no alteration, and that's why we're saying that there's not much we can do or nothing to waive in this case.
So therefore, the only option that the applicant had is go to his local Board of Rules and Appeals.
That's really an option. Yes, sure.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make the point, because someone said a change of use, you have to bring it up to code. That is not a valid statement.
But
that was my intent.
Are you correct? I think the problem is that the building official that's his position. So I don't really have no authority over that position. It's really, as you said, he could go and appeal it through the local appeal board. You're right.
Well, then, this is Beth Meyer. I would recommend to support the staff's recommendation, because the denial of the waiver is we don't have the authority for to waive a code requirement for this plumbing, and we're not necessarily the right place to be for this. I don't think, but
let me ask that question. Madam Chair, let me piggyback to that answer. The plumbing code requires a toilet room for a restaurant. They have the restaurant. They have the plumbing. The issue is now he's looking at it because of a change of use, and maybe it's the information that says to let the billing department know that we appreciate his input. However, a change of use does not mandate bringing something into accessibility compliance. Other laws and requirements do that. Just a thought.
Yeah.
I'd like to second the motion that's on the floor. It's outside our purview.
Is that Susan?
It is.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would state your name when you're making a comment or a motion for the record, please. TAC members, do you have any further questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll call the motion for denial due to no authority. All those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? We'll move ahead now to number 2920 US 1 Plaza, waiver 297. Chip?
The issue is vertical accessibility of the second floor. The project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. Project progress under design. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $85,000. Project construction costs and construction costs over the past 3 years is $94,000. The economic hardship threshold equals 90%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a building with 2,640 square feet of retail space on the first floor and 3,300 square feet of office space on the second floor. The applicant is replacing two sets of metal stairs that is in disrepair with enclosed concrete stairs. The project cost is $94,000 for the alteration. They submitted an estimate of $85,000 for elevator work associated. Substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. The staff recommendation, the compliance estimate amounts to 90% of the total cost of construction. Staff recommends granting the request for a waiver on the grounds of economic hardship.
Is the petitioner on the line, and would you like to make any comments, please?
This is Wayne Esseltine with the City of Sebastian Building Department. I'm the building official here, and I know this facility well, and I believe that my recommendation is that they approve the waiver based on the hardship.
Thank you, Mr. Esseltine. TAC members, do you have any clarifying questions? Hearing none, we'll go to the public. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak on this issue? TAC members, back to you for a motion to approve or deny.
This is Susan Whitmire. I'd like to make a motion to grant the request for waiver on grounds of economic hardship.
Beth Meyer, I second that.
This is Charmaine, I second it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you for being diligent. Do we have any further discussion, council members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to grant due to economic hardship, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. We'll move ahead to the next one. Number three, Old Willis Dairy and Barn, waiver 286.
The issue is vertical accessibility of the second floor. Project type is historical preservation alteration. Project progress under design. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessibility features is $364,720. Project construction costs and construction over the past 3 years, $28,000. The economic hardship threshold equals 1,302%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a barn and carriage house with 5,376 square feet. The applicant is building a new structure with two ADA restrooms and making structural improvements and upgrades to the catering kitchen, making the service areas accessible in the carriage house. The project cost is $28,000 for the alteration in the carriage house and $60,000 for the new ADA restrooms. They submitted an estimate of $304,720 for two elevators and work associated. Substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommendation, the compliance estimate amounts to 1,302% of the total cost of construction. Staff recommends granting the request for a waiver on the grounds of economic hardship.
May I ask a question? This is Beth Meyer.
Yes, Beth.
Is there any programs going to be provided? Is this like historic, like a museum historic, where there
no.
could be programs provided up on the second floor?
It's basically going to be used for weddings and events, basically be kind of rented out for different events.
Just the second floor? Is that
well,
what we're
no,
talking?
Not just the second floor. The second floor, I think only in the carriage house maybe has a bedroom up there, but mainly the first floor, I believe, is going to be used for having parties and weddings and things like that.
Okay.
Council members, any further questions? Any questions from the public? Hearing none, council members will entertain a motion.
I support, this is Beth Meyer, I'll support the staff's recommendation because of the economic hardship of it being excessive to grant this.
Do we have a second?
I'm Paul Vick, now second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to grant based on staff recommendations due to economic hardship. All those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 It's unanimous. We will move forward to number four, Iola Home, W.A. Mahoney House, waiver number 295. Chip?
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. Project type is historical preservation addition. Project progress under design. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $125,600. Project construction costs and construction costs over the past 3 years equals $329,900. The economic threshold equals 38%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a historic house being used for retail only on the first floor. The second floor is to be used for the owner's office and storage with 2,874 square feet. The applicant is remodeling the interior of the building and adding a new back porch. A lift will be installed at the back porch and an accessible parking space with a cost of $11,800. The project cost is $329,900 for the alteration. They submitted an estimate of $113,800 for an elevator and work associated. Substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. The staff recommendation, the compliance estimate amounts to 38% of the total cost of construction. Staff recommends granting the request for the waiver on the grounds of economic hardship and historical significance.
Council members, do you have any questions?
This is Beth Meyer. I'm sorry, I have a question. So if moving forward and granting this, the question would be, the management of making sure that the back porch is accessible and that they provide an accessible parking space. Those things will happen if correct.
Yeah, that's going to happen. They're doing that anyways. That's not
okay.
What they're asking a waiver for. They are putting in the back porch, and they are putting in a lift to where they can make the whole first floor accessible. It's strictly
okay.
For the second floor.
And this is, and to add to that, this is Douglas Coleman speaking. I'm the designer for the project, and we've had three meetings with the technical review committee here at Fernandina Beach, which we worked on exactly that, like provide the design for the back porch, so it's ample in size, and the selection of the lift and the location of the concrete covered parking place right next to that, to provide that whole new entrance basically for someone in a wheelchair. It's about 35 inches off the ground, so we needed that lift there. Yes, ma'am. So we are providing that for sure.
Council members, any further questions? Anyone from the public with questions or comments?
This is Diana Worrell. I have a question. I'm wondering, is there an accessible bathroom there?
This is Douglas Coleman speaking. Yes, ma'am, there is. In our plan, we submitted our plans for the building as well, a package of information plans, elevations, but yes, ma'am, we have an accessible bathroom. The code only requires one, but we have one, yes. And it requires us to demolish entirely the existing and actually put in piers under the floor and everything to shift the walls over to provide the ample size bathroom that's required by code.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am, we are providing that.
And did you just get one elevator estimate?
We talked to a couple of people, and well, we've actually interviewed two contractors and an elevator company. So that's where we got our information from. And some of that cost is also the changes we would have to do to the second floor to even accommodate moving around in the second floor if it had to be accessible.
Being historical,
okay,
they do
you.
Not have to submit a cost for an elevator.
Okay, thank you.
That's in the rule.
Yes, this is Larry Schneider. If I understood the applicant correctly in the reading of the document, he said that the second floor is only for the owner and for storage up there. If that is valid, then it immediately falls under the exception of not open to the public and less than five people.
This is Douglas Coleman speaking again. Yes, sir. It is only for the owner, the two owners, husband and wife team, for them and some storage up there that they occasionally visit. Actually, they have other offices too.
Well, and they meet the requirements on two different levels as far as historical being the main one.
Yes.
Anyone else from the public with questions or comments? If not, council members, back to you for a motion.
It's Beth Meyer. I would make a motion to support staff's recommendation
And I guess we would include that there not only is the estimate and total cost for the construction considered, but in addition, we would also consider the historic nature of the building. And I just would encourage them to make sure that that lift is operating at all times so that, you know, it's accessible to the public.
Thank you, absolutely.
Thank you. Any further discussion, council members? And we need a second.
Paul Vickie, I'll second.
Thank you, Paul. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor of the motion to grant based on staff recommendations and economic hardship, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. That is approved. We'll move ahead to item number 5, Bone Island Tiki House, waiver number 306. Chip?
Issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. Project type, alteration to existing building or facility. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the main entrance and the second floor of a historic house being used as a nightclub with 1,861 square feet. The applicant was told by the City of Key West that the current ramp is non-compliant in the right-of-way and must be removed. The estimated cost to remove the ramp is $10,000. The second floor is only accessed from a set of stairs outside. The second floor is used for storage and the manager's office. The hardship is caused by a condition or set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect owners. Staff recommends not granting the request for a waiver on the grounds that the applicant has not demonstrated any ground upon which a waiver should be granted.
Council members, any questions? Hearing none, anyone from the public with questions or comments?
Yeah, my name is Haven Berkey. I'm the architect representing the project, Bone Island Tiki House. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. The situation with this project is essentially we have a condition at our main entrance doors that were shown in the drawings, and we want to come into compliance with the level floor landing as dictated by the Florida Building Code egress requirement, section 1008. And to do so, we need a pole permit to level that landing area on the exterior side of those doors. And to pull a permit for that, the city wants us to correct our easement encroachment, which is the existing ramp that's being used, although non-compliant, being used as a handicap ramp, which extends a couple of feet onto the city right away. And that's why we're asking for this vertical accessibility waiver for not only to come into compliance with other issues that we have with the egress door, the main egress doors, but also there's to try to fit a ramp within the property boundary and the column locations is technically infeasible. And we did take a look at a lift being installed as well. Essentially, we need to use a 90-degree turn lift. And the full depth of the Ameriglide and other main products is 56 inches, which also puts us into our column line there. And makes it unable to work within the property boundary.
Thank you, Mr. Berkey. Council members, do you have any questions or comments? Hearing none, is there anyone from the public that would like to comment on this issue?
Yes, this is Larry Schneider. Unfortunately, it seems like the problem is the cause of the City of Key West. They put you in a catch-22 to get off my land, but we want you to make it accessible, and the only way to do it is get on their land. That's like the death of common sense.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But we're in a catch-22, and I'd be willing to approach this from any direction we can in order to resolve the issue, obviously. But we have two code compliance issues. One is our not level landing on either side of the door, which is not an ADA issue, but just a general Florida Building Code issue. And then we have that causing the problem with our ramp condition. And we did try to look at the replacement of the ramp, but the lift just doesn't physically work with our column locations, and it is a historic building of more than 50 years old, falls within that in our historic district down here in Key West. So removing the columns and altering the front facade is a non-starter with our Historic Architecture Review Commission. So we're kind of at a loss of what to do, which is why we came for an accessibility waiver based on it. And I'd be willing to take any recommendations of a different approach for waiver if it was a financial hardship or, you know, obviously the work we're doing is going to be far less money than the lift install, which about equals our work estimate. But we're in a situation where the existing ramp's non-compliant anyway. The slope as well as the landing areas are not compliant. So it's kind of a not great situation at this point. So that's why I'm here.
Let me ask you, was the ramp in compliance when it was installed, when it was really constructed? Because we're talking about how old is that ramp?
It's hard to tell. Obviously, it doesn't show up in the historic photos. There was no ramp historically when this was built in around 1960. I'd say the ramp probably, just from the looks of it, was installed 15 to 20 years ago and installed originally not as a non-compliant ramp. And I have no idea how it was or if it was even permitted to be built. My guess is no, since it was on city property. I don't suspect the city would have approved that.
Because the code
this
is not...
Larry,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's Larry Schneider again. What are they alleging is non-compliant?
The ramp slope is more than 1 in 12, and the landing area at the top of the ramp with a 90-degree turn doesn't give us our landing requirements per the Florida Accessible Building Code. There's also the issue of door swing, which might be something that could be resolved, but our clearance for the door swing is not compliant either in terms of the clear space on the latch side.
This is Larry Schneider. Is there any history of this property being sued under a federal ADA lawsuit?
Not that I know of, no.
Down there in the Keys were, and the city of Key West was sued also.
Yeah, and that has been a big issue, and we've taken part in resolving a lot of those issues for businesses when that was something that's happened quite frequently. But I do not believe this is one that was affected by those lawsuits.
Thank you.
I have a question for staff. This is Susan Whitmire.
Go ahead.
Is the reason the staff recommendation is because we don't have enough evidence to support historical impact financially or infeasibility? Is it just that we're lacking information?
It's basically, I mean, Mo, you want to answer this?
Yes, I think the key to it is that really the ramp is in existence, and the issue is non-compliance, and you want to remove, you want to actually lessen the accessibility a provision of that buildings by us really granting a waiver, which is either this is not a Florida specific requirements that could be waived. Plus, there is no, I think the issue is non-compliance. The issue is coming from the, the city. The fact is, really, this ramp was built long time ago. Who says that it's not in compliance? Because the codes are not retroactive. We cannot really apply new codes on existing buildings without any trigger. There is no trigger here. There is somebody who decided that this ramp is not in compliance.
So, well, and it's in the right-of-way.
Yes, in the right
of the city, the city wants it moved.
So it's really kind of, it's more of a, that's why we feel like there's not enough information based on what we can do to be able to grant the waiver.
So this is Beth Meyer. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
Go ahead. So basically,
it's exactly, so they're going to remove the ramp because it's non-compliant. It's on the city property. The city will not give them any variance to make it compliant. So the city will not allow them to add a ramp because it's technically infeasible to add a ramp to this building without encroaching on city property. So if then the statement is, you know, that goes back to what Larry said. So it's technically feasible for them to put in a ramp, unless the city allows them a little bit of variance so that they can encroach on the property, which is not happening.
Yeah, the city basically told them to remove it.
Okay. And Beth, part of I'm sorry. And, go ahead.
And Schneider, the ironic part is it's there now. So now they say, off my land.
Yeah, to issue a permit, they're going to want us to remove our encroachment, is essentially, and that's been pretty consistent with the city for the last few years down here, on all kinds of encroachments. It's obviously rare that a ramp is encroaching. It's usually some other piece that we can deal with. It's just in this particular case, it happens to be the ramp.
Anyone else from the public with comments or questions?
It's Larry Schneider. I think the only option you really have is you need to go to the Board of Rules and Appeals. And if they deny it, then you've got the issue from this, their own department saying you don't do this, and it's really not a waiver. They're telling you, take it away, and they're putting you in this box.
Yeah.
So you're suggesting getting something from the City of Key West or through some appeals process to basically use that as our technically infeasible, reapply for technically infeasible based on that, or are you suggesting just using that to eliminate the ramp and then not have accessibility to the first floor?
I think it's over once you do that, and it's all internal with the city.
Yeah.
You can't tell you to take it all away and then say, by the way, well, you can't get a permit because you got to make it accessible, but they're telling you can't do it because they won't let you do it. So they're pushing you off the pier, but they're not giving you the pier to even stand on.
Right. So my best bet moving forward then would be to discuss with the CBO again and figure out a solution. If we can reach an agreement with the CBO that allows us to come into compliance with our front door issue that's not an accessibility issue but a Florida Building Code issue, and they grant us a permit that includes the removal of the ramp, is that something then we're opening ourselves up to liability with accessibility requirements to the first floor if that essentially results in the elimination of the ramp but compliance with the other Florida Building Code issues we have?
This is Larry Schneider. Let me give you a response to that. In other major cities, New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, there's a lot of tenant spaces on major streets that have one or two steps up into the shop. There's no way you can build the ramp into that shop. What does the tenant do that? They then provide, in all honesty, a wireless buzzer on the outside to ring bell for assistance, and people from the store provide the information to the person who wants to see what merchandise it is, and they handle it that way, because it's literally impossible in those cities to even build a ramp. One, you're not going to put it on the city sidewalk because the city's not going to let it do it. Number two, you're not required to put a ramp inside the building because you're losing retail space, and the federal law says you don't have to do that. So I think you have a lot of other options, and I think the states, their hands are tied, unfortunately, with what they're going to tell you to do, that it's not their issue, because it really isn't, because they're not waiving anything from the Florida Code. This is all federal stuff that you're dealing with.
Got it. Okay.
And the issue is the Florida Code is the same language as the federal for 99% of this.
Right.
Yeah, this is the same that we deal with in South Beach and Miami Beach all the time, Collins Avenue, all those down there.
And you deal with it in the same fashion of a call button. I know in federal courthouses that we've worked on throughout the or state courthouses, requirements where an employee has to be available to assist someone to get into the building when there's not vertical accessibility. Is it something along those lines?
No. The answer is it depends.
Okay.
I mean, this is not a black and white issue. Yours is a very convoluted mess of tapioca pudding.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Okay. My first response there, and I know you guys are busy, so I'll let you go, but is to try to work out a CBO allowing us to get a permit to come into compliance with our main egress door, and allowing us to remove the ramp and then providing some sort of alternative system for accessibility issues. Does that seem like my best option moving forward.
Sure.
Has the Historic Preservation Board chimed in on this at all?
The Historic Preservation Board is willing to accept that this is a historic structure, but not a contributing historic structure. So when we've gotten an accessibility waiver before, it was a contributing structure, and they wrote a report of its historic significance. This doesn't fall into that same significance because it does meet historic building requirements. It doesn't meet contributing building requirements.
So the historic board would have no problem with you putting a new ramp on there if you were able to get the space to do it?
That is a question I haven't raised with them. If we did do a new ramp, it would be a significant alteration to the front facade of the building because the columns would have to be removed.
You might connect with them and see if they would allow it to begin with.
Right, yeah, and if we run into a situation, both from the catch-22 here is we remove the ramp. If they give us permission to remove the ramp, we're not in compliance with accessibility. The interpretation I'm getting from the board here today is that that's a federal and not a state regulation that we're dealing with at that point. Is that accurate?
Yes, but there's also some exceptions for historic.
Right, which we've done before. In that case, that's a resubmittal for accessibility waiver with the historic report, correct?
Right.
Well, technically, if it is Larry Schneider speaking, I mean, you're getting a lot of good consulting free services right now.
No, I know. It's just such a random thing. I'm a bit at a loss, as you can imagine. So.
You need to bring someone in to help you get this thing through the city, I think, from my perspective, and that's me personally. The other thing is, the billing department doesn't enforce the ADA. The billing department's only enforcing the Florida Accessibility Code. So his position, or her position, whatever it might be, might be saying, okay, you take this out, the Florida Accessibility Code says I need an accessible route to get me to the front door, put it in. What about the ADA coordinator for the city of Key West? What does they say?
Larry, just go ahead and give me your phone number.
Let's have this discussion aside at this point. Yeah. We'll just move on to the other application.
Do we have a motion on the floor yet?
We do not. Council members, we need a motion so that we can move forward.
Well, this is Beth. Because the staff recommends not granting the waiver because on the grounds that the applicant has not demonstrated. I don't know if he hasn't demonstrated, but I guess we make a recommendation that due to the technical infeasibility and the city of Key West not providing the egress that's necessary for access, that we would grant a waiver. I don't even know if we have to grant a waiver, but we would. Are we granting a waiver with this? Is that what we have to do?
We're saying not to because we have no authority. Really, we have no authority.
Okay. Well, then I amend it, and we will.
Beth, would you like to deny based on staff recommendations?
We'll just do that, yes.
Okay. We need a second?
I'm Paul Ricks, now second.
Thank you, Paul. Any further discussion, council members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to deny based on staff recommendations, please vote by saying aye.
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 Thank you, that's unanimous. Now to item number 6, 28th Street Obelisk and Pump Station Restoration Waiver, number 307.
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The project type is a historical preservation alteration, project progress, and plan review. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the terrace of a pump station with 1,149 square feet. The applicant is restoring the pump station to its original 1928 condition. The scope of work includes selective demolition, concrete and stucco repairs, interior tile work, plumbing at fountains, enhanced lighting, and substantial site work to include new paving and drainage improvements. The project cost is $450,000 for the alteration. The historic building on which compliance with the requirements for accessibility is not feasible while maintaining historical significant features. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends granting the request for the waiver on grounds of historical significance.
Council members, any questions or comments? Hearing none, anyone from the public? Is the petitioner on the line? Do you have any further comments?
Frank Garcia, City of Miami.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, William. No further comments.
Is that William or Mr. Garcia?
That was Mr. Garcia.
All right. And William, did you
have... I don't have any further comments.
All right.
No comments, but I'll be glad to answer any questions the board might have.
Thank you. Council members, back to you for a discussion and a motion.
This is Susan Whitmire. I motion to grant the waiver on grounds of historical significance.
Thank you. We need a second.
I'm Paul Vixnell, second.
Paul, thank you. Do we have any further discussion, council members? Hearing none, we'll call the vote to grant this motion or grant this request based on historical significance. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, are there any further comments to come before this council today? Anyone from the public? We will do a final roll call. Please answer by saying here, council members. Jim Woolihan. Carol Stahursky.
Here.
Susan Whitmire.
Here.
Darlene Labell Crow.
Here.
Paul Vixney.
Here.
Beth Meyer.
Here.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for all of your time and efforts. Good job.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.